Those conditions have been complied with and proper notice has been given as required. And the operation was not to take place if there had been any last-minute diplomatic breakthroughs. The operation underway tonight, taking place in the pre-dawn darkness of the Persian Gulf, involves Allied air forces of four nations: the United States, the United Kingdom, Saudi Arabia, and Kuwait. As they undertake their missions, they do so after months of careful planning. At the direction of the President, great care has been taken to focus on military targets, to minimize U.S. casualties, and to do everything possible to avoid injury to civilians in Iraq and Kuwait. And that make him a continuing threat to the nations of the Middle East. These are the same capabilities that now threaten American and Allied forces in the Gulf. Our goal, the same one we have maintained throughout Operation Desert Shield, is to liberate Kuwait and enforce the resolutions of the UN Security Council. This portion of the campaign, directed against Saddam Hussein's offensive military force, is an enormously complex undertaking. It involves all of the services of the United States military and hundreds of U.S. and Allied aircraft. It is an ongoing operation, and we must therefore limit the kind and the amount of information that we provide in these early stages. This obviously is different from what happened in Panama in December of 1989, where most of the operation was over by the morning of the first day. We understand your need for information about what will happen next, and we are well aware of our obligation to keep the American people informed. But you must also understand that we cannot talk about future operations without putting at risk the safety of those who will have to carry them out. I believe I can speak for all of us at the Pentagon tonight when I say that we had hoped to settle this matter peacefully. This has clearly been an agonizing decision for the President and the Congress of the United States. And we've reached the point of committing our forces to battle very reluctantly, only after the most careful consideration. But no one should doubt our ability and our resolve to carry out our mission and to achieve our objective. I have great confidence in the professionalism, the dedication, and the determination of the men and women of our armed forces. They are, without question, the finest young sailors, soldiers, airmen, and Marines this nation has ever sent in harm's way. I want to assure all Americans that we will do our very best to carry out the President's orders as quickly and efficiently as possible and at the lowest cost possible. We'd be happy to respond to a few questions.
General Powell, can you describe the Iraqi Air Force's resistance, if any, their losses so far, and to what extent do you think that you've already achieved air superiority there?
Well, the operation's only 2.5 hours old, so I'm not quite prepared to take on your second question. So far, there has been no air resistance.
Can you tell us if
there's been any casualties so far?
We will, at the appropriate time, be releasing information on casualties. We're not prepared to release any specifics now. I will simply say that the preliminary reports we have received in terms of the success of the operation, and that includes the possibility of casualties, have been very, very encouraging. The operation appears to have gone very well.
What can you tell us about the Scud missiles that have been reportedly launched by Iraq?
There have been a number of reports of Scud missiles, but insofar as I am aware, they basically are false reports. General Powell, I want to say
something. Can you give us a rundown on the types of aircrafts and numbers that were involved in the raids?
I really can't at this time because it is an ongoing operation. Let me just say that it involved the air forces mentioned by Secretary Cheney and sorties in the hundreds.
Can you tell us were there cruise missiles involved with that?
I won't comment on specific weaponry. It's an ongoing operation.
What targets were we bombing near Baghdad, and have we bombed any facilities where we think Saddam Hussein might be?
We have not been targeting Mr. Saddam Hussein. The purpose of our bombing facilities in the area of Baghdad is essentially to go after the command and control system of the Iraqi armed forces, and we're looking at principally military targets, command and control installations, air defense sites that could put our planes at risk, but they are militarily oriented targets.
Have you heard of any Iraq response of any kind?
The response of the Iraqi forces at this point has been limited, I think would be the best way to characterize it. But again, let me emphasize, as General Powell did, we are in the very early stages of this operation. It is likely to run for a long period of time. I realize you've all got legitimate questions about it, but there simply are things we do not know yet because it is an ongoing operation, because pilots are just now returning, and there'll be a lot of work required to assess the success of the initial efforts, and there'll be a lot of follow-up work required as well.
Could you tell us, please, whether or not there have been any indications whatsoever that the Iraqi troops, the 540,000 Iraqi troops in the Kuwaiti theater, have been cut off from their command and control headquarters in Baghdad?
I wouldn't want to speculate on that at this point. We'll
what about Mr. Secretary, can I follow up, please?
Sure.
Can I follow up? The President said this was strictly an air operation for the time being. When does the U.S. decide to send in the ground forces?
It is strictly an air operation for the time being, and I wouldn't want to speculate on the point at which additional forces might be engaged.
Have you talked to Senator Abu Azim
Larat said on the McNeil Air News Hour this evening that we are, quote, now prisoners of our own country, in our own country. Now that we've defended ourselves from naked aggression in the Middle East, how do we defend ourselves here at home from terrorist attacks?
I'm confident that we can deal with the terrorist threat.
Have our targets thus far included tanks and artillery?
I don't want to get into specific target sets yet. As the information comes in and builds over time, and we can give it to you historically, we will give it out, but I'm not prepared to go into specific target sets and what targets have been hit and have not, because it really is just too early to give you that kind of bomb damage assessment.
General, if Saddam Hussein says tomorrow, I give up, I'm sorry, I will withdraw from Kuwait, will you pause in your to have a pause in your air campaign, or will you continue with it until you knock out all the priority targets?
I will do whatever the President of the United States directs us to do through the Secretary of Defense.
From a military perspective, what went into your thinking in deciding to launch the attack at this point this evening? What were the factors?
Well, I think there were several factors. Of course, the President made the basic decision to commit the force. It was affected by, among other things, the expiration of the United Nations deadline that had been set on November 30th when the Security Council voted for the use of any means necessary to get him out. I think it was affected in part as a result of consultation with our allies, but it also was based upon the advice of our senior military commanders in terms of picking a time when conditions appeared to be most favorable for undertaking the operation. Let me emphasize, though, that the procedure we went through was to plan for execution of the operation at a point after the expiration of the United Nations deadline, but I had no authority to execute the plan until the President instructed me yesterday afternoon to do so, and it was at that point that we signed out the execute order with the qualifiers I mentioned in my opening statement.
Those favorable factors, can you tell us what some of those were?
I think I just leave it
Are you surprised that there was no response or a very small response from the Iraqi forces at this point?
Again, I'm reluctant to characterize the response beyond what we've already said about it. We've not had an opportunity to debrief our pilots yet. Some of them are still flying missions. And I think it would be inappropriate at this point to convey the notion that somehow we've got a final fix on it. But I think it would be fair to say, and General Powell may well want to comment on this, that the initial reaction from the Iraqis is such that I'm generally of the opinion that we achieved a fairly high degree of tactical surprise.
Has there been any support against Israel or Turkey on the part of Iraq?
None to my knowledge.
Mr. Secretary, could you tell us, the President mentioned that one of the objectives was to take out chemical and nuclear sites. Can you tell us in a general way if that mission was accomplished?
I can say that we have, in fact, gone after those targets. I do not yet have information on the effectiveness of those efforts.
Mr. Secretary, what about word of casualties at Baghdad? You indicated you wanted to spare civilians there. Do you have any sense about how that may or may not have occurred in the city? There was a lot of bombing, obviously, in Baghdad.
The best reporting that I've seen on what transpired in Baghdad was on CNN. And would appear, based upon the comments that were coming in from the CNN crew in the hotel in Baghdad, that the operation was successful in striking targets with a high degree of precision. At least that's the reporting according to CNN.
Was there an Iraqi attempt? Was there an Iraqi attempt to launch missiles, sir?
Do you have any?
We've had reports of missile launches, but none of them have been confirmed.
What about the Scuds in western Iraq at those air bases on the border? Have you got any reading on that? Are those fairly high priority targets?
Yes, they are.
Fairly high priority target.
And how'd you do?
I'm not prepared to say how we did or what we've done so
far. A follow-up on that. At the end of this operation, this phase of the operation, when you get a little better picture, and could you come back or have someone of your staff come back and give us a briefing?
We'll be getting regular briefings, and we'll be, as the Secretary said, we're going to be as forthcoming as we possibly can,
General,
while at the same time preserving operational security.
General,
are you confident that your targeting of command and control sites has left Saddam Hussein the ability to, number one, know what's happening to his forces, and number two, to communicate to you that he wants to quit if he does decide so?
Again, Melissa, I don't have any information at this point on the overall effectiveness of the operation. What I said was the preliminary reports are very positive, but we are in the very earliest stages of this, and therefore there's not a lot of detailed information we can give you on what the effect of the bombing campaign has been on specific strategic categories of targets.
Is there a military commander like Saddam Hussein still alive to surrender if there is such a decision?
I don't have anything I can give you.
Did you know where Saddam was when the attacks began, and was that a target even though he was not the target?
We have not been tracking Mr. Saddam Hussein for the purpose of targeting him.
General, can you characterize in any general way how long the current beginning phase of this operation will continue, that is the air operation, will be the rest of tonight and tomorrow morning, or throughout?
We're listening to a briefing at the Pentagon being conducted by Defense Secretary Cheney and General Colin Powell, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. General Powell is responding to a question now.
Do you believe the threat of a missile attack by the Iraqis has been eliminated at this point?
I cannot answer that at this time until we get some assessments in. I don't have bomb damage assessment yet. I can't answer that question.
General, how massive is this first wave? Are we talking 500 missions, 1,000 missions tonight?
I think tomorrow we'll be in a better position to try to give you a handle on that, but this early in the operation, I'm reluctant to give those numbers out until I've had a chance to talk to General Schwarzkopf in greater detail.
General Powell, when you say hundreds of sorties,
all U.S. services were involved in this part of the campaign.
When you say, General Powell, that there were hundreds of sorties, does that mean that there were not more than 1,000?
I think I'll leave it at that, between a bread box or something else, hundreds of sorties. Thank you all. Thank you.
And that has been a briefing just now concluded involving Defense Secretary Cheney and Chairman Colin Powell of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We'll be back shortly to summarize and to analyze what was said at that briefing. But first, let's pause 10 seconds to allow our stations to identify themselves. This is CBS News.
And this is WCCO, Minneapolis-St. Paul. 14 minutes before 9 o'clock in the Twin Cities, we have a mostly cloudy sky and our current temperature reading at 26 degrees.
This is CBS News, continuing coverage of the outbreak of hostilities in the Persian Gulf. I'm Frank Settapani in New York, along with correspondent Doug Poling and CBS News military analyst Ben Works. Just by way of summarizing what has happened, President Bush addressed the nation about 45 minutes ago, confirming and describing the attacks that have been underway against Iraqi forces, both in Iraq and also in Kuwait. And moments ago, Defense Secretary Cheney and General Colin Powell, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, held a separate briefing where they gave a little more information on the military aspects of what's been going on. Cheney said that U.S., British, Saudi, and Kuwaiti forces were involved in the strikes. He said the focus was on military targets and that every effort was made, every attempt was made to avoid civilian casualties. He said the focus was on the destruction of Saddam Hussein's military capabilities. He called it an agonizing decision and one that was reached very reluctantly. He went on to say that no one should doubt the United States resolved to carry out its mission. Ben Works, you listened to what the Secretary said and you listened to what General Powell had to say. What were the significant things that came out of that?
Well, first significance I saw was the quiet confidence of their body language. There was very little uncertainty evident in either of them. They do have a sense for what's going on. They did rightly observe that we are still less than 3 hours into the attack phase and that airplanes are only just returning. The pilots will take some time to debrief and it will take time to analyze their cameras for evidence of successful destruction of military targets. One thing to highlight again is that this is an alliance, and the goal of the alliance is attacking the man, not the people of Iraq. I think this will be stressed more and more strongly over the next few days.
Ben, one question. There was a point during the briefing that Powell was asked about casualties, and he said he had no specifics on that, but the preliminary reports were very encouraging. Could you give us some inclination or some indication as to what he might be saying by using that language, very encouraging?
It sounds like we did do an effective job of finding and targeting Saddam's air defenses. This must mean that the F-4G wild weasels had a successful time ferreting out radars and destroying them before anti-aircraft missiles could be launched. Again, we'll find out over the next few days as it's prudent to let us know.
All right, and one other report that we had just before the briefing was that Scud missiles had been fired into Saudi Arabia, and General Powell was very determined in his response to that. He said that those reports were false.
Again, we have no evidence that any Scud missiles landed anywhere. It could be that an exocet was fired at the last moment across the border, but that's a very different matter. Again, also we have independent confirmation from Israel that the Israelis are aware of very strong attacks against any Scud missiles and any aircraft that were in western Iraq near the Jordan border that might have had a chance of attacking Jerusalem or Tel Aviv. Israelis are guardedly confident, and I think we can take some comfort from that as well.
We have our first eyewitness account of what's been going on. David Green is a CBS News cameraman, and he witnessed the shelling by Allied forces from his vantage point, which is about 8 miles south of the Kuwaiti border. Now, he is in Saudi Arabia, about 8 miles from Kuwait, where all of the Iraqi forces are massed. Let's listen to what he had to say.
For the first hour after the initial attack in Baghdad, it was very quiet around here, apart from people pulling out of the town and getting out, including the Saudi military, which is rather disconcerting for us, leaving the border and going back towards Dhahran. But then about half an hour ago, the artillery opened up and started zeroing in on the oil refinery on the edge of the town here. They've hit the refinery about five times at the moment. No major hits as such on a container, as we can see, but there have been direct hits on the oil refinery.
What else have you seen, David?
Well, basically that's it. We've been around. There's very, very few troops in this neck of the woods. We're right close on the border. We're on the sea. We can hear a rumbling out to sea as if there's boats coming ashore or moving around out there, but we cannot see anything. But the town is deserted, the hotel, there's nobody left here at all, including the military that have pulled out.
That was a CBS News cameraman, David Green, describing what he saw to CBS News correspondent Dan Rather in New York. CBS News correspondent Rob Armstrong is standing by in Washington. Rob, you listened to Secretary Cheney and General Powell. Your impressions, please.
Well, I agree with what Ben was saying, and that is the body language was very telling in this particular instance. There was tremendous confidence being exuded by both Cheney and especially General Powell. I found it interesting that they would classify it as very, very encouraging with regard to casualties. Cheney said that there was very limited response on the part of the Iraqis, at least so far. A couple of other items going on. David Boren, the chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, spoke to reporters a short while ago, and what he was asked is the major role for Congress, and he said right now, Congress cannot micromanage a war. We have a commander-in-chief, and it's time that we come together and support our troops. And John Glenn, the Democratic senator from Ohio, offered this a short while ago.
This is a day and a time and an evening that we hope would not come. We hope that Saddam Hussein would have sense enough to pull out of Kuwait. He has chosen not to. The debate last week in the Senate was not a debate over whether Saddam Hussein should be permitted to remain in Kuwait. We were all united of one opinion that he should get out of Kuwait and would be forced out if necessary. While some of us felt that some economic pressure might bear on that and at least make him less able to conduct successful combat, if it came to that, the decision has been made to go ahead, and certainly we unite behind that opinion of the president.
John Glenn, Democrat of Ohio, and right now in the Senate Radio and Television Gallery, Alan Simpson, the Republican whip. We apparently can't get Simpson up, but Alan Simpson, indeed, let's listen to what some of Alan Simpson is saying right now in the Senate Radio Gallery.
We will have a briefing tomorrow morning with Secretary Cheney, probably late morning, and the joint leadership of the House and Senate will meet. The president was in his quarters and fully aware on a moment-by-moment basis as to what is transpiring in the pre-dawn of that area of the world. So if you have any questions, I'd try to respond.
Alan Simpson, the Republican whip in the United States Senate, he has just spoken to the president, and he indeed was announcing what Dick Cheney announced a little while ago, and that was that Congress was fully notified about what was going on, and indeed there will be more reports to Congress as things proceed.
Rob, if I could interrupt for just a second, this is Doug Poling in New York, and I wanted to say, I don't know whether you gentlemen noticed it or not, but I noticed the emphasis on the four nations that took part in this operation initially, the U.S., the U.K., Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. When I was in Saudi Arabia, one of the things that I kept hearing is the Saudis said, we will be in on this first. Our people will take first blood. And General Khalid, the Saudi commander, told us in a briefing one day, not too long ago, just a couple of weeks ago, he was referring mainly to the ground forces, but I think it's significant that the Saudi Air Force is involved in this initially. He said, if there's any blood to be shed, the Saudis will take it first before our friends. So I think it's very significant that the Saudi Air Force and the Kuwaiti Air Force are involved in this. This will look very good politically, especially here at home to all the people who've been saying, well, if the Saudis and the Kuwaitis want to defend their country and want their country back, why don't they fight for it? And apparently that's exactly what they're doing.
That is indeed what Dick Cheney said. There has been a great deal made out of the fact that the British have been very involved. They had some of their heavy bombers going in, and there is a very big concern on Capitol Hill, all over official Washington, as to what is going to take place after the war. And the reaction of the Arab world to what's going on has been very closely monitored. Yesterday, of course, Hosni Mubarak's speech to his people was of great interest in Washington. And you make the point from your experience, Doug, very, very well that right now coalescing Arab opinion is almost as important for the aftermath of what's going on as the military operation itself.
It seems to be, yes. Right.
Thank you, Doug. That was CBS News correspondent Rob Armstrong in Washington. You may, as you listen to this, have someone who is actually on duty in the Persian Gulf, or you may know of someone, but even if you don't, you can imagine how the families back at home feel at this moment. Erin Moriarty, CBS News reporter, talked to Judy Davenport in Charleston, South Carolina, about how she feels about the attack tonight, knowing that her husband is an American soldier serving in Saudi Arabia.
I just never believed that we could bomb a city where women and children and innocent people live.
Now, you've got a little bit of good news today. This afternoon, you found out that what, your son is not exactly in the area?
My son's not in the area at all, which was wonderful. I spoke with him. He's on a submarine, and he's near home.
But do you have any idea where your husband is right now?
The last I knew, off the coast of Kuwait in the Persian Gulf.
And what does a naval wife do when you're trying to find out how your husband is or what's going on his ship?
She watches the news.
There's no other place to call?
No, no. No one has any information that they can give out to us until it's public information.
In the Twin Cities, 26 degrees. Our continuous coverage of Operation Desert Storm continues. Rich Holter is in our studio. Rich?
3 minutes to nine in the Twin Cities, and WCCO Radio's continuing coverage of Operation Desert Storm continues. On the phone with us from, I believe, Washington, Minnesota, Senior Senator Dave Durenberger. Senator?
Hi, Rich.
I heard your remarks on the floor of the Senate late yesterday afternoon. Tell me now that we are some almost 4 hours into this operation against Iraq. What are your thoughts tonight?
Well, it is clear now that the President and the Congress of the United States have committed this nation to a course of action as leaders of the multinational force that puts to the test the principle for which a lot of us believe this country was put together in the beginning. We're clearly, after watching the President, it's very clear that we're going to do whatever has to be done. We're going to unite as a nation behind the President, behind the men and the women in the armed forces who've committed their lives to forcing Saddam Hussein to end that war that he began.
Senator, of key importance, the announcement tonight that the U.S. forces were not alone in this first strike. U.S. forces were joined by those from Great Britain, from Saudi Arabia, and from Kuwait. Significant?
Well, it should be significant to Saddam Hussein in particular because he's tried very hard over 5.5 months to make this look like an infidel war, a United States war, and to get people to believe that this was really not one Arab making war on another Arab, which it is, or one Muslim making war on another, which it clearly is.
The President, in his remarks tonight, although all 13 minutes or so were very pertinent and very important, the promise that this would not be another Vietnam, our troops will not be asked to fight with one hand tied behind their back. Other than that, how do you view the President's remarks?
Well, I just characterize him as appropriate for the occasion, but I don't want to leave what he said about Vietnam because that's crucial. We had a tough debate over the weekend, and there was not a difference about policy. There was a difference as to the strategy necessary to implement that policy, and a decision was taken in both the House and the Senate on that strategy. Now the strategy is being implemented, and the significance of what the President said about Vietnam is once you make the decision out in the open, particularly as we have this time, on the policy and the strategy, then by gosh, you better act decisively, you better fight to win, you better finish the job you started, and that's what he intends to do, not spend a lot of time in this country debating or redebating the policy.
You heard the Pentagon briefing just moments ago. As a former chairman of the Senate Intelligence Committee, what was your reading of that briefing, and where were the most important points?
Well, if I combine that with watching CNN from the beginning and listening to these three guys reporting from under the bed at the Al Rashid, I really must say, when you spend as much time as I did on the Intelligence Committee, you see an awful lot of our military defects as well as its perfections. And I must say that if this war has to start right, it has to have a strategy that is designed to discourage Saddam Hussein from continuing it. This military force that got put together over the last 5 months is doing as good a job, and certainly a better job. I must also say, Rich, I was having been there around Labor Day, I was very impressed with what we did in the first month, just putting the defense force together. I'm equally impressed so far with what I've seen of how we're handling this phase of the operation.
I know that you referred to the three CNN correspondents, Bernard Shaw, John Holloman, and Peter Arnett, in the hotel in Baghdad. I heard them use the word surgical airstrikes a number of times. Apparently, we're not engaged in industry.